Rosie TV.
Yes, I know. I was supposed to do 2 Timothy today. Yeah, I was supposed to continue what I started on Friday, assuring you that you no longer have to feel guilty about not reading your Bible every day, that God raises up teachers who do the hard work for you and then can present it to you in a pleasant fashion that is memorable, that is real, that gives you assurance of your expectation. But speaking of the word expectation, you remember I was also reading from Colossians on Friday about how the saints learned about the evangel from a guy named Epaphras, who was a faithful dispenser of the word. And again, this is how God teaches the saints, through teachers. And it's a beautiful situation. So more on that tomorrow. But I was reading this passage again, thinking I was going to bounce off of Colossians and go to 2 Timothy. But I found something here that is going to thrill you. When I find something having to do with our expectation of our extrication, of our immortalization, and its proximity, its assuredness, its guarantee, well, I just have to bring it to you, and I'm sure you don't mind. I'm sure you're not going to mind. Welcome to MZTV. I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, otherwise known as Martin Zender, broadcasting from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. Say, if you did not watch yesterday's Grace Cafe broadcast, I encourage you to do so. It will be linked down below this video. Hit the Show More tab. As you know, 6 of us went into a mainstream Christian radio station in Cleveland, Ohio in the summer of 1999, and we dispensed the truth. I mean, we were so effective, and the station was so afraid that we would come back that they got rid of the whole program. This was a program called Summer Nights, when they had different churches come in and talk about, the bus ministry and the new church secretary and all these things. And we came in talking about the things I talked to you about. And the station was so, I mean, they had to fulfill our contract. At least they were good that way, but they didn't want us to ever come back. And so they got rid of the whole program. That's a badge of honor. I'm always happy to think about that. But watch yesterday's broadcast. It's on the sovereignty of God. And there's 2 really amazing passages in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 22 and Isaiah chapter 10. 1 Kings 22 talking about the deceiving spirits that were dispatched from the throne of God into the mouths of the prophets of Israel in order to deceive them and to cause them to fall in a battle at Ramoth Gilead. That is an amazing passage. And then Isaiah chapter 10, the king of Assyria, God completely hijacks the guy, but the guy has no idea he's being hijacked, and God is using him to discipline his people. 2 great passages illustrating the sovereignty of God, and specifically the fact that people who are being controlled by God have no consciousness of it. And that's the beautiful thing. I don't feel like I'm being controlled by God. People with free will, people who think they have free will, nobody has free will. People who think they have free will say that all the time. But I don't feel like I'm being, it doesn't matter. Feeling has nothing to do with it. In these 2 chapters of the Hebrew scriptures, 1 Kings 22 and Isaiah 10, it goes directly to this truth that people are not aware that God is using them for his will. I love that. But let's go to Colossians now. Right before Paul says that you learned the evangel from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful dispenser of Christ, he says this, and I read this on Friday, but I read right over this, and I'm going to stop here. Starting in verse 3, Colossians chapter 1, we are thanking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you on hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints because of the expectation reserved for you in the heavens, which you hear before in the word of truth of the evangel. Woo! I mean, this is loaded. We could do a week on this. Maybe I will. But the expectation reserved for you in the heavens, this is the most underappreciated verse that proves that our destiny is not on earth, but in the heavens. All three words in dark face type in the Greek. The expectation reserved for you in the heavens. Now, someone might say, but Martin, how can an expectation be reserved? What does Paul mean when he says the expectation reserved for you in the heavens? Well, I suspected, as I was reading this anew, I asked myself this question, an expectation reserved. I said, this sounds like a figure of speech, probably the figure of association. So I looked up the word expectation in the back of my handy-dandy keyword concordance in the Concordant Literal New Testament, and imagine my delight to find that it is a figure of association. In other words, the expectation, the word expectation is put for the thing we are expecting. So, an expectation, you can't make a reservation for an expectation. So, the word expectation, again, is the figure of association. It's also a figure of omission because it's leaving out certain words. But it's what we're expecting. And the second shocking word here is reserved. The thing we're expecting to happen, and I love the word expectation because this is a stronger word than hope. And I think the King James probably has hope here because of the hope reserved for you in the heavens. No, this is an expectation that is reserved. Remember I told you that the celestial world is looking down, the celestial eyes above us see us as a theater, and they're watching very closely because they know that we are coming to their realm and we will be in charge. We will be the body of Christ. We will have all the authority of Christ, and they know it even more than we do. Not only do they know who we are, but they know more about what we're coming into than we know. And this thing that we are expecting to be in the heavens is set aside for us. I'm going to get down here to the word allotment, but there is a place, a literal place, set aside, reserved for us in the heavens. In the heavens, reserved. It's now vacant. And the celestial eyes know that this vacancy, because see, when you have a table reserved at the restaurant, the table is vacant until you show up. That's the whole purpose of the reservation. I've said this before, but it's a delightful feeling to go into a restaurant and say, oh, yes, I have a reservation, or a hotel. You hate to go into a hotel on the fly hoping they have a room, or go to a restaurant hoping that they have a table. But when you make a reservation, or when you reserve your seat on the plane, you can just relax and you know it's there. It is vacant until you get there. There is a place for us in the heavens that is vacant, presently vacant, that will be filled by us. And Christ is waiting to fill that vacancy with us. It is reserved. Now, Paul says that the expectation reserved for you in the heavens was something which, quote, you hear before in the word of the evangel. Well, where does Paul announce the evangel? In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5. Now, I'm not saying this is the only place where we can find our expectation, but we can certainly find it in 1 Corinthians 15. And the verse I want to go to is verse 53 of 1 Corinthians 15. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This corruptible that we're carrying around every day, this stinking, smelling, weak body, the discouragement we carry every day, even the doubt, the struggle, the vast struggle, it's all part of the corruptible. But Paul says that this corruptible, this, what you're wearing now, what you're enduring now, the sickness that you're struggling through now, this must put on incorruption. Must. I love that word, must. And this is our expectation. But to tie this in with Colossians, there is a place reserved for people, human beings, members of the body of Christ, who have been changed from corruptible to incorruptible. And then Paul says, and this mortal put on immortality. He leaves out the word must, but it's a figure of omission. You can put must there. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It must. Who says? God says. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever wanted a guarantee of what has to happen, here it is. Signed by God. The God who called into existence everything that exists through Christ. It must happen. This does not depend on us. It depends on Him and Him alone. This is our expectation. But not only that, because Paul goes on, says your expectation reserved in the heavens. So this is about a location as well. And for that, I go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4, for God, being rich in mercy, because of His vast love. Keith, listen to this, bro. Because of His vast love with which He loves us. Because of that, I mentioned Keith because he's our fellow believer. I mentioned him on Friday, and he's had these nagging doubts as to why God should love him. He had this feeling that God just felt like He had to love people. No, God has a vast love. And again, also in Ephesians, it's based upon the delight of His will. Verse 5. In love, same word, of course, agape. In love, designating us beforehand for the place of a son for Him through Christ Jesus, in accord with the delight of His will. It delights God. I could bring that up every day and not get tired of it. And you should not get tired of hearing that. This is in accord with the delight of His will. For the laud of the glory of His grace, which graces us in the Beloved. This is His grace. It's His love. It's His delight. And He's lavishing it on us, which gives us this expectation. And Paul's not vague about it. He says this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That is guaranteed. It has to happen. It doesn't. It must happen, or God's a liar. The whole purpose of this corruptible is to set up the contrast for incorruption. That's why it must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Because it would be stupid for God to leave us in the mortal state, to leave us in the corruptible state. What's the purpose of it all then? What's this about the vast love and the delight of his will? It delights God to leave us in this, well, can I call it a shithole? I can? Okay. That doesn't delight God. It delights him to give us the kingdom. And wait, you hear some other verbs coming up here. Oh, I love verbs. When it's referencing our expectation. So God, being rich in mercy because of his vast love, back in Ephesians 2, 4, which he loves us, vivifies us together in Christ. This is also part of our expectation that is reserved. So it's not that, again, the expectation is reserved. It's the things we are expecting to happen. The things we are expecting to happen are reserved. Figure of association, where expectation is put for the things we are expecting, also called metonymy. That's the name for the figure of association. It's also a figure of omission, because some of the words that fill out the thought are purposely left out to make it a stronger statement. The expectation reserved for you in the heavens. Listen to this. His vast love with which he loves us, he vivifies us together in Christ. In grace are you saved, and rouses us together, vivifies us. That ties in with 1 Corinthians 15. Vivify, to make alive beyond the reach of death. Also known as immortality. Also known as incorruptibility. He vivifies us together in Christ and rouses us and seats us together among the celestials. There it is again. Another strong passage of where we're going. We're going among the celestials in the heavens. Colossians talks about the place reserved for you in the heavens, and Ephesians talks about the citizens of that place among the celestials. Where are they? In the heavens. Because the celestial realm is a realm above the heavens that we see. It's above the earth's atmosphere. It's above the black sky that we see at night. On heavens, that's the word translated celestial. Those are the English elements of the Greek word epiuranos, translated celestial in the Concordant version. And seats us together among the celestials in Christ Jesus, that in the oncoming eons he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. This is so sure to happen that God speaks of it as though it has already happened. This is also a figure of speech called prolepsis, which means to before see. He rouses us together and seats us. Sounds like it's happening right now. But it's so sure to happen that God speaks of it as though it's happening now. Also known as calling what is not as though it were, but the formal name for the figure employed here is prolepsis. It's so sure to happen that he states it as though it's already happened. Yeah, he seats us among the celestials. That's reserved for us. So back to Colossians, and of course, Paul's prayer now is for the saints to become more and more aware of this great expectation reserved in the heavens. And they heard about it before. And you know, Ephesians was probably written before Colossians. And so this seats us together among the celestials in Ephesians 2:6. That also, I think, could be part of that which you hear before in the evangel, that Christ seats us among the celestials. But I think the broader picture is this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I think that is the main point. Well, listen to the rest of this in Colossians. The expectation reserved for you in the heavens, which you hear before, in the word of the truth of the evangel, which being present with you, according as in the entire world also. You know, as I said, this truth is present in the entire world. The justification of the entire human race is now, has been won by Christ Jesus. And the world has been conciliated to God through the blood of the cross. It's for all, but it's only on those who are hearing and believing it. That's what we learn when we go on here. It's bearing fruit and growing according as it is among you from the day on which you hear and realized the grace of God in truth. Only those who hear and realize the grace of God in truth are members of the body of Christ and have this expectation reserved for them in the heavens. The rest of the world doesn't have this. Only members of the body of Christ have this. Not even the Israel saints have this because their destiny is on earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. That's not our realm of future ministry. So Paul says, the day on which you hear and realize the grace of God in truth, according as you learned it. Here we go back to Epaphras. Learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful dispenser of Christ for us, who makes evident also to us your love and spirit. Therefore, we also, from the day on which we hear, from the day on which we hear of that you actually heard this and believed it, from Epaphras, the guy we trained, Paul says, the guy I trained and sent out. You heard what he said. I gave him the exact words to say. And you heard it and were thanking God. And we are not ceasing to pray for you. Verse 9. And requesting that you may be filled full with the realization of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And this wisdom and spiritual understanding in this context has to do, I believe, with the expectation and the reservation. You to walk worthily of the Lord, for all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the realization of God. That's what this is all about, growing in the realization of God. And it's not just God, who he is, what he's done, but it sounds kind of selfish, but this God loves this. It's what he has promised to do for us, namely this corruptible must put on incorruption. Must. Because if there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual body also. A corresponding spiritual body for every soulish body. Being endued with all power in accord with the might of his glory for all endurance and patience. See, patience comes into play when we're waiting for this thing to happen. Patience comes into play along with faith, being an assurance of that which is not being observed, and we patiently wait for it, ideally. Sometimes not so patiently, but we try. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Don't kick yourself if you're not finding yourself too patient. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of self-will. It's not a fruit of concentration. It's not a fruit of trying to be more patient. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Let it happen. At the same time, giving thanks to the Father. Listen to this here. Listen to this. Who, I'm going to end with this. I have to end with this. Wish I didn't have to, but who makes you competent. Active verb, makes you competent for a part of the allotment of the saints. This is the general allotment of all the saints, the allotment of the saints in light. The place we're going is full of light. And we only see a dim representation of the spectrum of light. Some light spectrum or spectri. Is that the plural of spectrum? It's spectrums, not sprecti. But, okay, well, it should be spectri. There is light we haven't even imagined. Who rescues us, okay, being a part of the allotment of the saints in light, who rescues us out of the jurisdiction of darkness and transports. Listen to this word. It's like a Star Wars word or a Star Trek word. Transports us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Here is prolepsis being used again, the figure of calling what is not as though it were, but it's so sure to happen. And the reservation is waiting there, and the celestials peek behind the curtain and they say, "Who are all the? What's this big empty space for? Oh, that's for the body of Christ. Oh, really? Close that curtain. Close that curtain. You can't look there too long. It's too glorious, too full of light. But that is reserved for people with an expectation. What is their expectation? This corruptible must put on incorruption." And now we read the word transports. This ties into 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, 4, 13 through 18, the snatching away. He transports us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's right. This ties in to the snatching away. Transports. What is the snatching away? It's transporting. In 1 Thessalonians 4, we meet the Lord in the air, and it doesn't say in that passage where we are going. It just leaves us hanging in the air with the Lord. It's not meant to give the rest of the story. This gives the rest of the story, that our reservation is in the heavens, that we are seated, speaking proleptically, seated among the celestials in Christ Jesus, and now this amazing word transports. And transports us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. I don't know about you, but the kingdom of the Son of His love sounds a hell of a lot better than the jurisdiction of darkness. What a contrast. This is where we are now. This is where the corruptible lives, in the jurisdiction of darkness. You wonder why you're having a bad day? You're living under the jurisdiction of darkness. And this belongs to mortality and corruptibility. But look what's going to happen. It's so sure to happen that God is speaking of it here through Paul as happening. Who rescues us. This is a rescue operation. The snatching away is a rescue operation to take us to our reservation, to fill our reservation. Every one of your names is on a placard in the heavens. Who rescues us out of snatching away, out of the jurisdiction of darkness, and transports us, snatching away, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. What a contrast between the kingdom of the Son of His love and the jurisdiction of darkness. Jurisdiction of darkness, kingdom of the Son of His love. Corruptibility, incorruptibility, mortality, immortality. This corruptible must put on the incorruptible. As I close this show, I want to put the word must with the word rescue and transport. All these words are in the scripture, inspired by God, written by Paul. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruptibility. Must. And God, in order for this to happen, must rescue us out of the jurisdiction of darkness. And He must transport us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Therefore, He must change these mortal bodies on the day of His return. Change them instantly without us tasting death. And as soon as that happened, the transportation, the rescue, and the reservation, it's on.